All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started. All right, so before we dive in here to Lord's Day 24, let me pray for us. Lord, what an awesome responsibility that you've tasked all of us with, Lord, to handle your word rightly. But I praise you that you've provided the means for us to understand. Your Holy Spirit opens the word to us, grants us understanding. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would do that in even greater measure as we consider the righteousness that we have in Christ, and as we consider our depravity and just the miracle of rebirth. Lord, please just open your word to us and grow us in our faith this morning of the work in the work of your Son. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Many ways to start, so I'm just going to start this way, I think. Lord's Day 24 is kind of a continuation of, well, not kind of, it's a continuation of last week when Aaron so beautifully showed us in Lord's Day 23 the big question: how are you righteous before God? How are you right before God? That's pretty much the big question. So, what's the answer? Without looking. What's the answer? This needs to be quick, right? Okay, the blood of Christ, but specifically what? Through faith. Through faith, right? So, the Reformed kind of stance would be the threefold answer: by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay? So, I'm going to call you all out this morning before we start. Well, and just remind you that a lot of Lord's Day 24 was written against the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, so by what you just said about how we're right before God, how would that go against what you understand to be Roman Catholic dogma? What's that? Yes. Yes. Yeah, so we have the dogma of Mary, which is a huge problem because it all goes along with this. Tom, what'd you say? They had works in, right? So it's faith plus works. Faith plus works for our righteousness. Now, I don't think anyone would sit here and say, I'm justified based off of my faith and my works. Not one of you would sit here and say that I'm made right with God because of the faith that he's given me, which we would all say is a gift, and my ability then, after I have that faith, to keep the law and to be good and to do good things. None of us would say that. None of us. However, after you're justified and saved, you become Catholic. You're Catholic. So am I. You know why? Not that Catholic. Roman Catholic, sorry. Let's say the historic Roman Catholic Church. We become historic Roman Catholics because of this. Oh, yeah, sure, God justified me. But to keep that, man, I better do some good things. And if you're sitting here saying that you don't think that, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. Because I know myself. And there is absolutely, in every single person, the thought, even if it's fleeting, man, God's going to be really pleased with me if I do this. God's going to love me a little bit more. If I don't do this, oof, I might get punished. Maybe God's favor isn't on me. Am I lying? No. This is true about all of us, right? Yeah, if I'm lying, I'm dying, right? So, thank you. It's my former principal at my school used to say that. This is who we are, and we fight in the flesh, right? This is a spirit waging war against the flesh, because this is what we want to do. We'll be very quick to say we're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Yes, now I need to hold on to that by working. And that's what we do. So then our righteousness doesn't just come through faith in Christ's work alone, but but it comes through faith in Christ's work alone, plus my ability to keep the law after I'm saved. And that's where we run, because that's what our flesh wants. Because what does it say about us if we hold to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone? What does it say about us? We're saved. But what does it say about us before we're saved? There is nothing good in us. There's nothing good in us. I mean, I don't know about you. It makes me feel good when somebody says, man, that was a good job. You did a good job. Wow, you look great in that outfit. Thank you. Thank you. I'm always remembering. I'm on recording, so I'm editing as I go. We love compliments. We love to be told how good of a job we're doing. It makes us feel good about ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But if then you start to think that, well, that's why God loves me. That's why he saved me. Look how good I am. There's a problem. And every single one of us struggles with that. Whether we want to admit it or not, every single one of us does. Okay. So with that as kind of the introduction, let's dive into Lord's Day 24, because that's going to kill that thought. At least it should. These questions and answers should pretty much kill this thought. Lord's Day 24, question and answer 62.
Sure. It is just the glory story that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Continually returning to it. Yeah, and thank you. That actually brings one more thing. Well, actually, let me read this, and I'll get back to that. Lord's Day 24, question and answer 62. Why can't our good works be our righteousness before God, or at least a part of our righteousness? Answer, because the righteousness which can pass God's judgment must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are imperfect and stained with sin. Question answer 63. How can our good works be said to merit nothing when God promises to reward them in this life and the next? Answer, this reward is not earned. It's a gift of grace. And question answer 64. But doesn't this teaching make people indifferent and wicked? No. It's impossible for those grafted into Christ through true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. Okay, so again, let's just get a couple of things in our mind. If this is written written because Roman Catholicism was so present, and this idea of works, faith plus works. So the mindset here of, and think about how pastoral this is, right? We just heard last week, how are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ, even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, this is question answer 60, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil. Nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned, nor been a sinner, and as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is receive this gift with a believing heart. Why can't my good works be my righteousness before God, or at least part of it? I mean, I hear that, but why can't my good works? It's like you would see the pastor or the people writing this just kind of be like, have you heard what the previous 23 Lord's Days have been saying? I mean, let's go back. Let's go back just for a second. Yeah, sorry. Let's go back to question and answer number 8. On Lord's Day 3. But are we so corrupt that we're totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Answer, yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. And then we're still asking, why can't our good works be our righteousness before God? Or at least part of it.
And
well, we're going to get to that. So there's really twofold in this, is what Steve's point is. But I'm talking as someone before believing, right? Why can't my good works, again, the Catholic mindset, why can't my good works make me justified before God, be my righteousness? Okay, because here's the answer. Our righteousness, which, because the righteousness which can pass God's judgment must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. And that's where we get footnote 1, Romans 3:20. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. We can't be justified through the works of the law. Okay, plain and simple. Well, why is that? For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Galatians 3:10. So, okay. But why? Why? Because even our best works in this life are imperfect and stained with sin. Every work, for it to be righteous, must be entirely perfect. Entirely perfect. And must in every way measure up to the divine law. We've already seen that anyone who relies on the works under the law are under a curse. Because we can't keep it. Right? We can't keep that divine law. But even our best works in this life are imperfect and stained with sin. And here we have Isaiah 64:6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. So all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Right? We can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do no good thing. Right? So now we have the twofold thing. We've got the people looking at salvation saying, but why can't it be partially works? Right? And then that's answered because we can't do any good apart from God. But now, as a believer, what I'm not saying that there are no good works. There are good works. You will do good works. Okay? I mean, the catechism, the next question affirms that there are good works. You're going to do good works. And this gets to Steve's point. But the point of the catechism is this. As a believer, your works don't now justify you in addition to faith. Okay? It's not Christ plus works. Faith in Christ plus works. It's not that. The works don't hold you. They don't affirm. God doesn't hold you because of your works. That you're not now earning this gift that God has given you somehow. So it is a twofold thing here. Okay, y'all understand that? That got your point, right? That there.
I was just asking which one you're referring to.
Yeah, the first one was the other, but now yes. Why? Now let's read this from this other perspective, from the perspective of a believer. Why can't our good works be our righteousness before God, or at least a part of our righteousness? Because again, if we're assuming that as a believer there are going to be good works, why can't that be part of my righteousness? Well, because your justification is already done. And what is the justification? What's the grounds of justification? How are you justified? How are you made right with God?
Christ's righteousness
imputed to us, and faith in that. Right? Faith, which is given. So by grace, this gift, by grace, through faith in Christ and your works. No. But that's what some people were believing. Right? They were affirming, oh yeah, it was grace. Yes. The gift of faith? Yes. Yes, Christ? Absolutely. And now, I need to merit that somehow.
You go right back to answer 62.
Yes. Because the righteousness which can pass God's judgment must be entirely perfect. Are you entirely perfect even after being saved? In one sense, yes. But are you still in the flesh? So is there anything that you're going to do that's not stained somehow with sin? No, because you're in the flesh.
And even if we did, Article 24 of the Beltic says, so then we do good works, but not for merit. For what would we merit? Rather, we are indebted to God for the good works we do, and not he to us, since it's he who is at work in us to the will of work.
Yeah. So do we understand this question in answer 62? Do we see how important this is? Because this is the battleground every day. It's the battleground. I mean, let's put some feet to this, right? Here's the battleground. You wake up in the morning, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read it. I've got a reading plan. I'm going to read my Bible. And then you don't. Or maybe you do, and you don't. You feel like, I didn't get anything out of that. God must not. And now we're downcast for the rest of the day. Or we get angry with somebody. I mean, you just think of all the scenarios. And now you tie this to God's favor on you. Well, God just must not, he must not love me now. Because he'd love me if I was doing this. Right? I mean, this is the battleground every single day. And what you're doing is you're running back to faith plus works. Yes, he loves me in Christ. Amen. He only loves me, though, in Christ if I'm doing this. Right? This is death to the believer. It's death. And this is every Sunday's message, by the way. Right? Every single Sunday. Because this belief rails against the gospel. This is not the gospel. This is, as Anthony reminded us, this is the glory story of you putting yourself on the stage saying, look how good I am. Look, I can earn my salvation. Come on, Jesus, stand right next to me. We'll do it together. Or, just hang on the back seat, Jesus, I got this one. I'll drive you around. Right? I mean, you know, we don't want to think about it because we're all good Christians. And we don't want to ever say, well, yeah, in the deep recesses of my mind, I really do think I am pretty good. We don't want to say that, but we think it. There's no one who's good, no, not one. No one who seeks after God. And what is, I read it. Question answer 8. Are we so corrupt we're totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? And the answer, yes, 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 yes. We are unable to do any good, corrupt to our core, evil, wicked. The only reason that there's not mass shootings in the street every single day is because of God's restraining hand, not because you couldn't do it. God restrains that. Are we so corrupt we're totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? Yes, unless we're born again by the Spirit of God. Right? And here's our hope. We're born again by the Spirit of God. So there are good works. There are good works. Question answer 63. How can our good works, Catechism affirms, there are good works. How can our good works be said to merit nothing when God promises to reward them in this life and the next? Answer. The reward is not earned. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace. So some of the footnote here, this is just going to affirm that there are rewards. Matthew 5:12, these are talked about. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, there are rewards spoken about. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So are we saying, what we're not saying is there are not rewards. We're not saying that there aren't good works. What we're saying is the good work doesn't earn the reward. Okay? Now, there's a whole discussion you can have about what the reward is and what the rewards are.
But you're saying this. You're saying there are good works and there are rewards, but God gives both the good works and the rewards.
Yes. Yeah, and again, we're going to quote the scripture that was quoted in the confession that Anthony brought out, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. To will and to work. Gives you the desire, gives you the ability. So how in the world should we be then, we're earning something? Yes, please. But quickly. Good. Okay. So, there are rewards spoken about in Scripture. But let's think about the greatest reward. We get God. Right? We get God. That's the greatest reward. Through Christ. Right? Christ's work. We now have been given the gift of faith to believe in this work. That's grace. And now we get God. Greatest reward. Greatest reward. So, yeah. I'm only going to be a custodian in heaven. You're probably going to be like a CEO or something. You get God. I mean, we're missing the point, right? We're missing the point, Tom. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Because in looking to Christ, we then see that every one of us is so wicked and corrupt that, and we're totally inclined toward all evil.
And there are rewards now for us.
Sure.
Think about in doing good things, you do see and show Christ, and that brings you joy. And that's a present reward in and of itself, the joy that you have in your obedience.
Yes. Does that make sense? Because that's really super important.
You wouldn't say the rewards are material things?
I wouldn't say that.
Because even to do a good work, one, if it's done not out of being motivated by God's love in the gospel, you're not going to be motivated for the reward being truly God.
Right.
And so if your motivation is from the gospel, that is your motivation then. Yeah. The reward is God because you love him.
Right.
So it'll always be mixed up if we don't approach things by God's means.
Right. And we love because he first loved us.
He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek what?
Him.
Him. So if you're earnestly seeking him and you get to him and you give a reward other than him, what kind of reward is that?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, Doreen and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Maybe we need to step back in a lot of situations and think, maybe my view on things really is a secular worldview and not a biblical worldview. And what does the Bible actually say about certain things? For example, okay, these people are professing believers, and man, it just seems like God continues to reward them. I mean, look, they got a house that they wanted. Things are working out for their kids. Maybe we need to put that against Scripture and say, is that a biblical view? Is that God pouring out blessing? Or is that a health and wealth gospel that has now infiltrated your mindset, which is not biblical? It's from the pit. So I think that if we, you know, step back and really place things against what God says, I think a lot of these secular worldviews are just going to disappear, and we're going to see them for what they are, which is foolishness, right? All right, I've got like 2 more minutes. No, fantastic. Reward is not earned, it's a gift of grace. Obviously, you know, when you think of the gift of faith, I immediately think of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, but the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. But God has prepared works for you to do, good works, right? And therefore, his glory. So let's go to the last one, because this last question really is placed in here because of this Roman Catholic. If we look at the idea of this being written against the mindset of Roman Catholicism, well, the obvious objection is, if you're going to say you're only justified by grace through faith in Christ alone, you're going to make people that are going to do whatever they want. They have no desire to be obedient then. What would be the desire? Why? Because they can't lose their salvation in your point of view, so they can do whatever. Question 64, but doesn't this teaching make people indifferent and wicked? Answer, no. It is impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. Luke 6, 43-45, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This point we've talked about a lot, but we should say it again. A Christian will have good works. A Christian will bear fruit. Will necessarily bear fruit. And you know why? Because it's not dependent on you bearing fruit. Who wills and works in you? God does, for his good pleasure, for his glory. A Christian will have good works. Now, if you claim to be a Christian, and you're doing nothing but hating on people, and you're living in abject sin, and you don't care about being called into account for that, then I would say you need to examine yourself. Yes, you are not trusting in Christ. However, repent and believe. Believe in Christ's work for you. But a Christian, you're not going to do this perfectly. Again, we've already seen this. No works are going to be staying without sin. But what is the primary work? Two things. What would be the primary work that Anthony has brought out? Scripture. Faith and repentance. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. But I'm not helping my neighbor. You believe. You're trusting in Christ's work. You know, maybe you're spending 23 hours a day doing something else, and you just don't have the time to bake a cake for somebody. But you're trusting in Christ. How about that good work? How about that? You know, that's a gift, because that faith isn't even something you can conjure up. That's a gift from God. So, will you not produce it? Are you just going to sit around now and say, you know, they talked about like the carnal Christian that's just going to sit around and do nothing. They're just going to live like the world. Maybe, but you're probably not a Christian. That's what we would say. The Christian is going to have faith in Christ's work, trust in Christ alone, not perfectly, trust in Christ alone, because this is a work of grace of God, and it's a gift that's been given, and he's the one working it out in you. So, I would just say this. We all need to pray that God would continue to kill this belief of self-righteousness in us, because it is a cancer that's in the flesh. And by the way, it will never go away until we're glorified. But we can still pray that God would kill it, because it is death to the Christian, right? It is, and it's still a part of death that lives in us, this idea that we can somehow earn God's favor by doing good works. Okay, so questions, we're at time, but questions, if you have them, keep them to yourself. No, seriously, is there anybody who has a quick question that can be, if it's longer?
Basically, what you're hearing correctly, we will do what we want, because God will change our want.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your actions always follow your desires. Right, right. And as a believer, our greatest desire, our true desire in our spirit is going to be the glorification of God, exaltation of Jesus Christ. Right? Right. Because Christ has fulfilled the law for us, all the law can be pared down to two statements, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Christ fulfilled that perfectly for us, so we look to him and say, that's my righteousness. And that then, that desire to see God exalted will then flow into our lives, and that'll be our true desire. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would, in fact, just kill these thoughts of the flesh, that we would do nothing but trust in the work of your Son, trust in his righteousness, trust in his work. Lord, we love you. You are so gracious and merciful that you have provided a way for us. Lord, so help us to look to Jesus and his work. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.